your Catskills.
Support comes from the Catskills Food Hub, connecting the community with local and regionally sourced fresh food. Order online and pick up weekly in Liberty, Livingston Manor, Margaretville, Narrowsburg, and Wurtsboro. Supporting agriculture and contributing to a healthier community. CatskillsFoodHub.org. From the River Reporter newspaper, riverreporter.com. And from listener donations at WJFFradio.org.
Good afternoon, good evening. This is Radio Catskills Local Edition, local news and information to keep you connected in the Catskills in Northeast Pennsylvania. I'm your host, Jason Dole. And Riverfest is happening this upcoming weekend. Happening on Sunday. To find out more, we're going to talk to Ariel Schamberg, Executive Director, Delaware Valley Arts Alliance. That's coming up in the second half of the program. First up, it is Thursday, and every Thursday here on the Local Edition, we check in with folks on the other side of the river from where I am right now in Sullivan County. We talked to Wayne County, and this week we're exploring Leadership Northern Poconos, Class of 21-22. Chamber of the Northern Poconos, it serves the business community in Wayne and Pike Counties. They hold a leadership development program for adults every other year. For a small group of high school students as well. So here to talk about how this works and what they do, it's Executive Director for the Chamber of the Northern Poconos, it's Holly Brzezinski. Hello, Holly, how are you doing?
Good, how are you, Jason?
Good, good. Thanks for coming back to the show here.
Thanks for having me.
I guess it's been, we actually had to look it up. We last spoke in May, so that's more than a year ago. That's a pandemic year ago. So much has happened since then. Can you say how you and the Chamber of the Northern Poconos have been doing since then?
We're doing pretty well. We have an amazing membership who has supported us through all of COVID and really helped us to come out on top at the other end of it.
Okay, great. To remind folks, the Chamber for the Northern Poconos, what region do you cover? What does that entail in the Northern Poconos?
We cover Wayne and Pike counties.
Okay. All right, cool. So you're the chamber for both counties.
Correct.
Yeah. So what's the leadership development program?
So we have a leadership program, which we call Leadership Northern Wayne. And what it is it's a class that teaches adults and high school juniors how the county works. So every other year we have an adult class, and then on the opposite year we have a shortened class for the high school students.
And is this one of those years where you do that with the high school students?
So this is actually a year for the adults. Due to COVID, it kind of threw off our years a little bit. So we are currently starting to recruit people for the adult program this year.
Okay, great. And so what do you want folks to know about it if they heard of this? What types of folks are you looking for to participate?
So really, it's anyone who wants to learn more about their county and how it works. We want to aim it towards the people that want to be the leaders. Usually really great people that we find really love this program are the ones that might be a little more quiet, that wouldn't necessarily go out on that ledge and learn these different things or meet these different people. You develop a really strong bond with the people in your class. So it's great for really anyone who is looking to be a leader in Wayne County.
Can you give us some example of the types of things that you learn about and who's actually teaching these classes?
Sure. So we have classes from September through June, and each month is presented by a different facilitator, which is a different leader throughout our community. It starts off with a class which is a team building day at Woodlock, and then we go over different things such as an overview of the county and its history and the industries. We have a healthcare day. We have a law enforcement and criminal justice day, economic development. We also cover human services, arts and culture, and environment and recreation and tourism as well.
Okay. And what's the time commitment for this? How long does it take if somebody participates?
So it's one full day, once a month. And it, like I said, the classes run from September till June, and then we have a graduation ceremony in July.
Okay. And is there a fee for attending?
There is. It's a $600 cost, and that covers the transportation, lunch, snacks, and the actual classes. We do have scholarships available for nonprofits, and we welcome any sponsorships from the area as well.
Okay, and specifically for nonprofits, that's so you understand what nonprofits are up against. So,
correct. And we do, you know, if we are able to get sponsorships for other attendees, we try to offer them. Mm-hmm. But obviously, after COVID, it's been a tough year for everyone, so we know that might not necessarily be available this year.
Yeah, and so you're saying like it threw off your schedule between what years for adults, what years for high school students. So that means you weren't able to do this last year.
Correct. Last year, we were not able to do it. It's very in-person. It's very interactive. And we don't feel that the class would have been able to get the full experience if they were doing it virtually. And unfortunately, the high school students that we had the year prior to that got cut short due to COVID.
Wow. So can you, like, how long have you been involved with this?
So I'm actually taking the class this year. I've overseen the high school students through their program, mm-hmm. But I haven't actually been able to oversee the adult classes yet due to the fact that I've only been with the chamber for about 3 years.
Okay.
So I'll actually be participating in this class as well. I'm very excited to be a part of it. So it'll kind of be a little bit of a surprise to me as well.
But even in just that 3 years, being in the chamber, a lot of people in the community that you interact with, have you come across anybody in the community who's a past participant in this that you were able to see, or even they were able to say, oh, that was a great thing, and now look at what I'm doing?
I have. All of the other women who are a part of the chamber have been around for quite a while. They've all taken the class, as well as other people in the community that I've met. And every single person that I speak to who has been a part of this leadership program has told me what a wonderful program it was and how much they got out of it, how much they learned, and how it actually helped them to progress forward with their job.
Okay, and so, like, just on the side from this program, is it a what I'm curious about, like being the chamber for Pike and Wayne counties, can you give us an idea of how businesses are doing right now, and what's good about what they're facing, and what challenges, if any, are they facing?
So really, you know, fortunately, we're a tourism-related industry area, and we are lucky enough to be one of those drivable vacation spots. So the people that are able to reopen and were able to make it through COVID are starting to rebound really well. The hardest thing that we're seeing from all of these people is that they can't find enough employees. We're slowly starting to see that change and turn around, but it's difficult when you have people, you know, that are still out of work. They might not necessarily have the child care they need or the schedules that they would need to go back to work like they did before COVID. And a lot of these places are really struggling to bring those people in.
And I mean, that's something that we're hearing all over the place. We talk about this pretty much every week on our local economics chat here on the Local Edition with our own James Huntington on Work Shift. This just seems to be like it's all over our area. It's on both sides of the river. It's around the country, this employee shortage. Is there anything that you've actually been able, because everybody's kind of scratching their heads, is there anything that the chamber has actually been able to do to help businesses with this? Or are you hearing from other organizations at the state or national level that are helping come up with some solutions for how to ameliorate this issue for local businesses?
So it's really great to see that, you know, the local legislators have pushed and all of the legislators have heard and reinstated the work search requirement. I think that will help a lot to address a lot of this, and the chamber actually worked closely with our legislators to move that forward and try and give them the sense of urgency on that. Another thing we've seen is one of our members increased their minimum wage that they start at to $15 an hour with Settlers Hospitality. And since they've done that, they've seen an amazing turnout of employees since then. We've also held job fairs, and we're looking at holding another one in the fall to try and match these people who are looking for jobs with the appropriate places.
Okay. And is there anything else that you want to let folks know about?
The applications for the Leadership Northern Poconos are currently open. If they're interested, they can reach out to the chamber. They can either call us at 570-253-1960 or 570-226-3191. Or we also have the application available on our website, which is northernpoconoschamber.com.
Okay, and if, because you say, like, you know, that there is a fee and you try to help people if you can, is there a way for people to sponsor someone through this program?
There is. If anyone is out there who's willing to sponsor a future leader in our area, they can reach out to the chamber through those phone numbers as well. And we would very much welcome that generosity at this time.
Well, let's give those phone numbers and the website one more time.
It's 570-253-1960 or 570-226-3191. And the website is northernpoconoschamber.com.
All right. Well, Holly Brzezinski, Executive Director of our Chamber of Northern Poconos, I want to thank you so much for coming back, and good luck.
Thank you so much for having me.
This is a local edition, local news and information. We're keeping you connected in the Catskills and Northeast Pennsylvania, and we check in with Wayne County every Thursday evening at this time. Well, coming up, we'll be checking in with the Delaware Valley Arts Alliance live. Ariel Schamberg will be joining us, talking about Riverfest coming up on Sunday. But first, this time, once again, we're going to take a little trip. And we'll go out to Concordia with Ron Bernthal on Borders.
Private fundraising efforts and cooperative spirit seems to be running on double speed. Even before the latest surge of new buildings, Fort Wayne was a somewhat undiscovered gem for iconic architecture. Indiana native Michael Graves designed two residences in Fort Wayne, and Frank Lloyd Wright created a Usonian house in 1952. Two of the more famous structures include Eero Saarinen's mid-century Concordia Theological Seminary and Louis Kahn's Arts United Center. Miriam Morgan of Arts United Center describes Kahn's fascination with light.
Kahn, as you may or may not know, internationally renowned, and one of his signature marks was the play of natural light on natural material. So you can see that really well in our building. It faces south, and as the light moves through the space from east to west, it changes during the day. So the building has its own life and its own breath, which is kind of interesting. Most of our patrons who come in the evenings miss most of this. So that's kind of unfortunate in some ways, but it's a secret, kind of, for the people who live and work in the building all day long, which is kind of fun. So like I said, he really wanted you to see the theater in its most realistic form. I'm often asked why the concrete pour holes, the form holes, are still present, and that's because he wanted you to know how the building was created. He didn't want to cover it up because he felt that that would have been false. It does have this interesting quality to it. He studied Roman and Greek architecture as well as Scottish castles. And so you'll see that kind of influence. This is mid-century modern in a sort of brutalist style. It is the only theater he did in the entire world and our only Midwest building by him. So we're really fortunate in that way.
Across town, the Finnish architect Eero Saarinen designed a tranquil 192-acre seminary where every roof is pitched and only two curves are used on the whole campus. Robert Rothermeyer, the seminary's VP for strategic planning, explains the beauty of Saarinen's Kramer Chapel and its Schickler pipe organ.
There was a great explosion in our country of new babies and life after the war. And a lot of new churches born during that same period, and many of them had organs made by the Schickler Company. This one is one of the larger ones for this space. Here you move into a simple form, the triangle, where you have three points of light, and above us. And instead of an oculus, you have a sidelight that takes the whole Holy of Holy chancel area and makes it brighter, even when the lights are completely out in here. In Kresge Chapel and looking at the lectern and the pulpit, or you turned around in Kresge Chapel and looked at the wood detail or the organ, you would feel like you were in Kramer Chapel in terms of color of the wood and the design elements, but two different settings.
We will end this segment with organ music from the Kramer Chapel in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Borders is produced at WJFF, an NPR affiliate station in Jeffersonville, New York. I'm Ron Bernthal, and this is listener-supported public radio.
On the next Janice Adams Show, we're taking a path through history. Stories of the Underground Railroad at the home of William Seward.
We do know that the home was used as a stop on the Underground Railroad. And at this time, Seward is a United States senator. And to be harboring escaped slaves would have been an act of treason.
So much to see, so much to discover. I love New York. The Janice Adams Show, Saturday at noon.
You're listening to Radio Catskill, on air, online, on your smartphone, and on your smart speaker.
Welcome back to the Local Edition, local news and information, keeping you connected in the Catskills in Northeast Pennsylvania. I'm Jason Dole. And, well, boy, summer's in full swing, and it's about that time for Riverfest. It's back again, the annual event. It was paused last year due to the pandemic. But now the event's back, and spanning the Narrowsburg's Main Street from Bridge Street to 5th, Riverfest features artisan craft booths, live booths, artisan craft booths, live music, kids' activities, and Radio Catskill will be there as well. As media sponsor of the event, and of course, there's the poster contest and auction, which is a big deal. But rather than have me ramble on about it, we're going to check in right now with Ariel Schamberg, Executive Director of Delaware Valley Arts Alliance, to tell us more about Riverfest. Hello, Ariel. How are you doing?
I'm doing great, Jason. It's wonderful to be with you.
Well, welcome back to the program. So, after a year off, a crazy year off from Riverfest, how does it feel to have it back?
We're so excited to be coming back to Main Street, though I just have to say that last year wasn't a year off. We switched gears, if you will. We brought Riverfest online. We did everything, as you mentioned, the poster auction, but also put together a series of events that we presented via Facebook Live that included great presentations by the Outside Institute, dialogues with artists who are engaging the environment, a call to action with our friends from the Delaware Highland Conservancy. And we actually did a virtual River Dogs on Parade where we had the community send their picture of their river dog on Instagram. And
that's right.
Our panel of illustrious judges gave their votes to the best river dogs via Instagram. So we didn't let it go quietly, especially in what was its 30th year. But for the 31st year, we are really happy to be back on Main Street.
Yeah, and it's all coming back to me now that you're reminding me what you did last year. Some of those things I do remember now, but it's got to be cool to like you say, have it live on the street with real people there.
It's a special experience. I mean, all of us here in Narrowsburg love nothing more than closing Main Street and throwing a party. but to be able to celebrate the tremendous artists, the music of our area, and our incredible and vital setting in being just on the Delaware River, it's really something that you can't replicate in truth or in full online. So everything from starting the day with the real River Dogs on Parade, at 10 a.m., and then sliding into some events where the family is all welcome to hear the eco-hip-hop styling of Nate and Hilla, which is a rap duo out of the city that has come to know our area. They performed not too long ago at Hurleyville Performing Arts Center, and we're thrilled to have them bring some family entertainment as well as some great environmental and social justice messages in their morning show.
All right. And I would say, like, the dog show, I saw your list of judges, some familiar names and faces, our own Donna Fellenberg from Catskill Character, as well as Greg Triggs and Dean Sharp, the Dean of Dogs.
Indeed, from Dog Mountain Lodge. We're so excited to have them, and emceed by no one less than Kevin McDonough. It's amazing to see the creativity and the style that the dogs of our region have. They are quite some fancy dogs, so if you've never seen it, I strongly encourage participating.
Now, I'd like to talk about the thing that really that I remember about Riverfest every year is the posters, and I was just looking at the posters earlier today. Actually, it's another great lineup of posters by local artists, local residents. Can you explain the idea about this and then how it works?
Absolutely, and it's one of those things. I wonder what came first. Was it Riverfest or was it the poster auction?
Yeah, are we? By the way, is it true that Riverfest has been going on for 31 years?
For 31 years, indeed. It started initially as an initiative by the Narrowsburg Chamber of Commerce, and it was done in partnership with DVAA. And you know, we are now in our 45th year, so. We were a trusted partner of it, and for, I think maybe the past 20 years or so, we've been the ones producing it and bringing it to the community. And we do it with an amazing army of volunteers, the staff and board, as well as really just all the people who are participating in it. It wouldn't be Riverfest without them. But on the poster auction, so it's really a wonderful process. We start off with silk-screened boards by incredible silk-screen artist Van Morrow from Mountain Bear Craft, and artists are invited to participate and let their creativity flow on the boards themselves, you know, so painting, drawing, hand-cut pieces. We got one of the last pieces in today that is really a magical piece, and I can't wait to get it up on the wall and on the website for folks to see, but duct tape. There's a lot you can do with duct tape. So, as well as fiber arts, photography, and other more traditional media. So,
yeah, so
you know, to see people push this kind of standard canvas that everyone gets handed and come up with creativity that celebrates, again, the river, the natural world, and the environment that we are stewards of, and to have the proceeds go to support the amazing visual arts programming that takes place year-round at DVAA, it just feels like a whole lot of hugs all around.
Right, and you know, like you're saying, it's truly a mixed media effort there, but just to underscore this, that the people then bid on these posters, and they're not bidding on prints, they're bidding on the original handmade artwork.
This is such a great opportunity to own, if you haven't bought a piece of art yet in your life, an original work of art. The lots start at $50, and they can go quite high. We have enthusiastic bidders. And over the years that I've been here, I've heard really such wonderful stories about how having a Riverfest poster hanging in their home is one of the ways that just always connects them with some of the special traditions of the Delaware Valley and Sullivan County. You know, these posters are emblematic of our community, and I couldn't agree more.
And when people are bidding on them, I mean, sometimes they're bidding on work from people that they know, their friends and neighbors.
You know, it is tremendous to see just what a mutual admiration society we have in our artistic community. I think some of us are each other's best collectors, and it's just really out of an enthusiasm and a love of what our fellow artists in the community do.
Okay.
And for those who can't attend, the event is this Sunday. It's held in the middle of the day around 1 o'clock on the main stage. Because of the pandemic, we learned to go online, and we brought the auction online, and people bid, and it was a great success. And we're doing that again this year, and people can bid up till midnight on Saturday. And I would just want to add that DBA is always about supporting artists, and just as the funds that we do this with, this initiative with, support our visual arts program, the artists who are participating are also recipients of the support. So you're not just, if you're bidding, you're not just going to be supporting DBAA, but you're going to be supporting the artist who made the poster as well.
Excellent. And, you know, so that's happening, sounds like, square in the middle of Riverfest. Riverfest runs from 10 in the morning to 4 in the afternoon on Sunday. Anything that people need to keep in mind, anything anybody needs to do to prepare so they can have the best experience?
Absolutely. Hydrate. It's always important to hydrate. It can get hot on Main Street. It looks like we've got some isolated thunder showers going over the course of the day. So an umbrella or a hood, hooded jacket might be wise. You know, we are still in the midst of a pandemic. So while, you know, we'll be outdoors and people will be welcome to attend unmasked, we are encouraging those who aren't vaccinated to be aware of their social distancing of people, and when people are entering into vendors' booths, to be respectful of the wishes those vendors may have in terms of asking guests to be masked. We will be recycling, so we definitely encourage folks to be conscious of where they're putting their plastics versus their food. And we have some wonderful food vendors as well as really incredible artisan vendors this year. Don't want to not mention that, including we'll have a tintype booth. People can attend Riverfest and for a modest fee, get a late 19th century photographic plate portrait made of them. That'll be done by an artist, Rebecca Daniels, as well as some of the amazing textile artists and ceramic artists and jewelers from the area. And, you know, just to kind of close the day out, to really Riverfest, it feels like a day-long party. We're so excited to have Sullivan County's own Slam Allen band and friends closing the day out on the main stage at 2 o'clock.
Wow. Okay. And so, and all the details, if anybody's lost track, because there are so many things that you're talking about at Riverfest, it's all up at DelawareValleyArtsAlliance.org, the DVAA's website, all the details there. We got to go in just less than a minute, Ariel, but I figured as a closing thought, could you just talk about, like, what? How does the community respond? How does the village in Narrowsburg respond to this, and what does it seem to mean to them?
You know, I think this is one of the highlights of the summer for all of us. You know, we all really enjoy the when Main Street feels alive with energy. And Riverfest, along with the Narrowsburg Honeybee Festival, the Deepwater Literary Festival, Logging Days, and our own Big Eddie Film Festival, as well as some of the Narrowsburg on Main nights that we've all produced, really celebrate a coming together of business owners, of community members, to ensure that our community is vibrant and a pleasure to live in and a pleasure to visit. So not only do we encourage folks to visit the vendors at Riverfest, but, you know, one of the strategic things we do, people will notice, is we don't place a booth in front of the entrance of each of our Main Street store owners. We want people to frequent all the businesses and all the entities on Main Street. So there'll be a lot to do in those 6 hours.
Well, I wish you luck on Sunday and all the best in the whatever you have to do leading up to it. And then just have a great day on Sunday. Ariel, thanks again for joining us.
Thanks so much for having us, Jason. Appreciate it.
We've been talking about Riverfest, which again goes from 10 to 4 on Main Street in Narrowsburg this Sunday. And Radio Catskill is a media sponsor of this event. That's going to do it for the local edition. And that was also, I should say, Ariel Schamberg, executive director of the Delaware Valley Arts Alliance. I want to thank Holly Brzezinski from the Poconos Chamber as well.